You know, it's been a while since I've done a ham radio, so let's do one of those. Let's just sit around and listen to some music, and this one's going to be extra music focused because I'm not even out walking around. I'm not so much feeling the urge to, what's the word? Unburden myself with whatever dumb thoughts are on my mind because we've been doing the Vinyl Countdown show. And that's a nice substitute. So those are not on this feed anymore because I was putting out way too many of them. We're up to episode 19 now, but don't forget about Vinyl Countdown. It's totally good. Go to vinylcountdown.ca. We'll have a website up eventually. And it's on iTunes. It's an RSS feed too. You know, I always announce on my Twitter when I put out a new one. But yeah, it's a good little show. Just sitting at a bar blabbing. It's good times. So, for just spur-of-the-moment shit that, you know, dumb random thoughts, there's that show. If I really want to get deep about something, then I got XO, which I haven't done in forever. I'm working on some stuff, but that's for the deep thoughts. So, what does ham radio do now? It used to be such a nice mix of dumb thoughts, some deep thoughts, and intense thoughts. I won't say deep thoughts. Occasional bursts of being upset. And some music. I guess all that's left is the music, man. Let's not forget about the music. It's all about the music, dude. So I got some music, some songs that I've just been putting aside in a little folder. If I could just fucking find it. Where did I put that shit? Here we go. Songs for future ham radios. So, Brian Lee O'Malley, the guy that does the Scott Pilgrim comic, he started posting in the issues playlists what he was listening to when he made them. And in the playlist for number 5 was this band called Beulah that I'd never heard of before. But it's this song called If We Can Land a Man on the Moon, Then Surely I Can Win Your Heart. So I grabbed the album that it was on, and the album as a whole didn't stick with me. Albums very rarely do these days. The whole MP3 thing of just chopping the shit out of stuff and immediately discarding songs that I don't like. It's just how it's going to be from now on, man. I don't even know why people put out albums. They should just put out series of singles or EPs. So it's a weird band where there'll be like little parts of songs especially that I like. There's this one song called Warmer that has just an awesome ending. Let's just listen to the end of that song. And then it just fades out on some drums. It's really only like 20 seconds, but that makes the whole song. I always listen to it just to hear that. But this song, If We Can Land a Man on the Moon, same thing. At first, I didn't really like it that much, except for the ending of the song. I loved the end of the song. So again, let's just hop to the end. Let's just listen to that end part before I continue blabbing. So cool. So yeah, I kept it in my playlist just because I liked that part at the end. And then eventually the whole song grew on me and now I like that whole tune a lot. And there was something about it that especially stuck in my head and I couldn't figure out what it was until I was laying in bed one night with, I wish they would invent like a blanket with a little divot in it so I could put earbuds in and they wouldn't cram into my ear. You know, just like a little recess so that my ear would have a spot. Because I end up only having the earbud in one side just so, you know, it doesn't hurt my ear. And that's when I noticed, as listening to that song, the whole album is mostly like this, where they have stuff like on hard left and hard right. It's not something you hear that often anymore. It's probably like more common back in the days when like those crazy, like how the Beatles albums came out in mono originally, and then stereo mixes were just all fucked up and no one really knew what they were doing and they did weird things. One thing not many people do is like hard left, hard right. Like there's all the instruments, you know, like something will be only on the right side and you can't hear it at all in the left side. Usually it's, you hear it more in the right side and a little on the left side. So I noticed that I'd be listening to a part and there's like entire instruments on the right side that aren't playing on the left side. So first you would hear this. And on the other side, you'd hear this. Speed up or slow it down. If you want, we'll change the sound. We'll play. Yeah, we'll play. Anything that you want. All we want from you is a word or two. And then you put it all together, and it's like, ah, fuck, that's fucking cool. Speed up or slow it down. If you want, we'll change the sound. We'll play. Yeah, we'll. Really just gives your brain a little more to work through, I think. It's one of the things that made it so fun to listen to this band. I mean, they put in all kinds of different instruments, and they definitely seem to work pretty hard. Like, you can just tell these songs are crafted really carefully. They work really hard on making little hooks and things that are interesting, but I think that hard left and hard right is part of it. And that's just fucking cool. So, let's listen to If We Can Land a Man on the Moon by Beulah.
You want, all we want from you. if you want me to fight.
All right, here's a fucking cool ass song. There's this chick named Rayanne here in Toronto. Knows a lot of people in the social media scene or whatever. Man, just today I had to unfollow somebody. Just because the first people I initially hung out with here in Toronto would be me and Picard would go, hear about like little get-togethers and shit through Twitter. Sometimes it was awesome. It'd be like after some kind of corporate get-together. And then they'd have like a free thing where you got like food and wine and like all kinds of shit and just hang out and chat. And we would just stroll into that. Even though we didn't go to the $400 a day seminar or whatever dumb fucking crap they were doing. But I ended up following some Twitterites that are big into just social media and just business culture in general. And it's just, I had to finally start cutting some of them out because it was just pissing me off on a day-to-day basis of, you know, here's a fucking article about how to motivate your employees and... It's so fucking condescending. It's insane. It's just insane. These like manager types and the way they talk about things and their business speak. And it's like, I don't think anyone could take part in that who has really honestly just sat down and thought hard for a long time about how they're going to die and how finite life is and how this is all we've got. There's just no way they would be so insanely disingenuous, you know, and just the way they talk about people, they try so hard to be all sensitive and compassionate or understanding, but they talk about people like, not even just like cogs in their machine, that wouldn't even be as bad almost. They talk about them like they're children, you know, people that need to be motivated. And it's like, you fucking dickheads. It's like, did they become twisted into this pretzel or are they just like that? Is that just the kind of person they are that they can't understand how to just be normal and be relatable and be a fucking person? That's all you got to do, manager fucking fuck faces. You're a person, they're people, you all come together for some common business goal and just act like that. Just talk like that. Don't fucking, it was getting to be just too much. And if you have a thing on your Twitter that tells you when someone unfollows you, then fuck you, you know? I have followers go up, followers go down. Occasionally I'll notice that they went down if I was at a weird number. You know, when I was at 911 followers, the 911, and then it went down to 909. Like, I noticed that one. And you wonder, like, well, who are those people? But, you know, it's like, normally it's like, whatever. Don't think about it. Who gives a shit? What are you going to do? What, am I going to make my Twitters better? No, definitely not. I'm just going to Twitter a bunch of stupid shit as I've been doing. But yeah, people have this thing set up that will alert them whenever someone unfollows them on Twitter. And it's like, what the fuck? Do you just want to be aggravated? Do you just want to tie yourself in even more to the fucking machine than we are now, you know? I mean, I can't deny it, man, that glow. My old girlfriend used to call it being a Hotmail junkie. But yeah, like, I'd just hop on Twitter, check my email, you know, like, compulsively, as long as I got an internet connection. And I'm probably not going to stop, and it's not necessarily such a bad thing, but you got to try to moderate it some, you know? Don't just set up things to be fucking, to grind your teeth about, you know? What the fuck? So if I unfollowed you and you noticed, well, too fucking bad, man. You shouldn't. I should have just quietly unfollowed, and that was that. Anyway, I like this girl, Ryan. She's a lot of fun to hang out with. And she mentioned on her Twitter, see, good comes of her Twitter, this song called Me and the Moon by a band called Something Corporate. I haven't really delved into them at all yet. I only have heard this one song, but this is such a good song. It's fucking so cool. I just got a smartphone from Jamhole Matt from Montana. He gave me his old Android, so it's like one of those touch phones, but it's got a little keypad that flips out. So I loaded all my old writing onto it. It was really cool. I can just go to, finally become one of those Starbucks people. I finally understand it now. Like, I was never willing to lug a whole laptop to a coffee shop or something. And I don't want to just sit there and read a book. Like, I don't know, it seems kind of pretentious or something. Like, just wanting to be the coffee shop scene. I don't know. I mean, I like coffee shops, but I just never lingered. But now that I got this phone, it's so cool. Like, you can just kind of connect into their internet. And again, I can just sort of keep up with my dopey Twitterness and shit. But I've gotten more writing done than I have in ages, you know? It's like the medium was what I needed. I needed something Because if I'm at home with my computer, like, there's so many things I could be doing that it's just impossible for me to focus on writing. I'll literally procrastinate for years on end. So being in this coffee shop and there's nowhere else I can go, I just, that's all I can do is a little bit of internet and work on this story. And it's fucking, it's really fun. I forgot how fun that is. But I remember I was at this Starbucks on Yonge Street by Young and King, I believe, just sitting by the window, and it was really snowy and cold and dark outside, and listening to this song while I looked out the window at the snow and the people walking by, and it just was fucking cool. It was a really cool little memory, really solidified in my brain. So this is Me and the Moon by Something Corporate. The guy in a live version said it's trying to humanize murder, basically. It's about a lady who kills her husband, and maybe it's ill-advised to try to humanize such a thing, but it's just a fucking really good song.
But I
Here's something. This is a band called Smudge. I always liked a lot. The guy from Smudge used to be in the Lemonheads, and there are quite a few Lemonhead songs, even up to like the 2006 album, that are actually Smudge songs that old man Evan Dando kind of appropriated. And they're a really lo-fi Australian band. This album is from 1993. I just happened to be listening to it today. And it's just a random little song. This one's actually sung by Allison, the drummer of Allison Starting to Happen fame. It's called Clodhopper. A real simple little song, but I like it a lot. Brings back nice memories, because I was in, I think, my last year of junior high, ninth grade, when I first found out about this band. So I guess this album was pretty new then. I think it was 94 I got out of junior high. Yeah, because that's when Kurt Cobain died. Cool. So here's a song from an album that was new in 1990, newish, a year old back then, and now is, fuck, I don't even want to think about how many years old. Old. Clodhopper by Smudge. Let's switch it up. A while back I played, thought it was really cool, it was the demo version of this Our Lady Peace song, where it was basically the song just boiled down to its most distilled form. Like, here's the verse, here's the chorus, here's the bridge. Later we'll construct this into something, but this is the super fast version. So I found a similar thing for Slipknot, their first single, Wait and Bleed, which was always a really cool song. This is called Demo Edit 2, and it's not totally bare bones, but it's still under 2 minutes long. It's just the kind of fucking the essence of this song, you know? I think these are cool. I wish I could find more stripped down bare bones demos of songs. I think it's a really neat thing. So here's the Wait and Bleed demo by Slipknot. I felt the air rise up in me, down to the stone of the list. I wonder how you can see inside my shell. I wait and be. We'll be right back.
until I was a boy. Rubber. And the waits for you.
Here's kind of a weird little silly one. Is a Sloan, Canadian band extraordinaire, just put out a whole collection of like B-sides and rarities and stuff. And it's got all these like liner notes that I wish I could read. Comes with like a PDF. They just opened a digital store, like an online store. And I totally wanted to buy it just because I would love to read their little liner notes. Like they put out a live album. It's probably still my favorite live album. It's called Four Nights at the Palais Royal, a double disc. And it had little liner notes for every song. And it was really cool. Had tons of good sing-alongs. That was an awesome live album, if you're already into Sloan, if you knew that stuff. Anyway, unfortunately, I only have PayPal money. I don't have any ability to use real money on the internet, and they were not set up to take PayPal, so I never could get the PDF. But I tracked down the songs through illicit means. Someday, Sloan, I'll hook you up. I'll get you back. And then I just kind of listened through and just sort of delete things, or not, as I got tired of them. And this one is kind of surprising. It's Jay Ferguson. The way Sloan works is there's four band members and all four of them write songs and sing. This is just some song he did called Step on a Jean. I don't know where it's from. Some B-side from way back somewhere. Another little two-minute song. And it's just, I don't know, this one just really got in my head. I just started noticing that I'd be walking down the street and this would come on and just get a little spring in my step. Yeah, Step on a Jean. Let's do this, Sloan. So let's listen to that, Step on It, Jean by Sloan.
Ooh, step on it, Jean. You got halfway there, but you lost on the scene. Ooh, if you folks get me, while you sleep on the floor with an old magazine. When you catch the train at night and you head to your class.
Another band that just put out a compilation is NoFX. Just put out, what is it called? The Longest EP, I think, because of their old EP, The Longest Line. Where basically they just take a bunch of their miscellaneous EPs and compile them all together. So all those old EPs are going to go out of print, and instead you get this one massive, like, 30-song album. And it's pretty weird because it spans the whole career. Like, there's some really old, really shitty songs on there. But there's some stuff I'd never heard before. This one is called Concerns of a GOP Neophyte. I don't know what that means. Fat Mike got real political around the time that Bush was elected, and I never understood what the fuck he was talking about because I don't really follow politics at all. But NoFX is a real good band, man. This is probably also a short song. I mean, it is a NoFX song. 2 minutes, 20 seconds. A lot of short songs. So, right on. Concerns of a GOP Neophyte. By NoFX from The Longest EP. Maybe you might consider buying it. See, it's not like this show. Maybe it makes people buy stuff, right? Sometimes. Someone must have bought at least one song because of this fucking podcast, right? Maybe this will be the one.
election. The GOP developed the vaccine. Get your shot from your local Christian reading room. Make sure your clothes are blue and neoprene.
I was going to play a song from a mix CD that Squidpaw Joel gave me, but I just realized I don't know the name of it. It's just called Track 10 in my little rip that I made, so I got to go find the actual CD that he gave me. Check the track list, old school. So while I'm looking for that, yeah, let's do this. This is an old version of the first Gorillaz single, Clint Eastwood. I liked the first Gorillaz album quite a lot. It had some really cool shit on it. And I only listened to the second one a few times, and it didn't really catch me. And then I only listened to the third one once, and people really love that shit. Like, they're still selling tons of albums and critically acclaimed, but the first album seemed a lot more accessible to me, a lot more the songs were a lot more standard-seeming, even though they were still pretty weird. I mean, Clint Eastwood is almost a reggae song, reggae rap weird-ass thing. Yeah, it seemed like the other albums just got a lot further down the sort of techno dance sort of, I don't even know what to call it, you know. Less instrumenty. Whatever. Anyway, this is an early version of Clint Eastwood, or a later version. It's called the Phase 2 version. Anyway, it's a different guy rapping. It's not the super awesome guy from the original. The super awesome original version is still my favorite, but that's something. I'll end off the show with, I got another Clint Eastwood type thing. But this is just really neat because it's essentially the same song. I think this is live also, but there's a whole different rap in it. And it's just, I don't know, it's neat when people rework stuff. Like fucking Back to the Future had a whole different guy in it, and then they just redid it with Michael J. Fox. Like, what the fuck? Same thing with this song. Like, there's nothing wrong with this rap part. It's totally good. I would have just rolled with it, but the new second, you know, the album rap is way, way awesomer. So anyway, it's a neat thing to hear. Neat little piece of Gorillaz history. Clint Eastwood Phase 2 version live.
Sidewinders and snakes, your moves define you. Remind you how I wish my brother Dell was here. Catalog of rich originals, the experts clear. Seared legs and lamb, your whole style's ham. We are tons and tons, and you are just a gram in the can of irrelevance. Banned from the benefits, canceling your visa. Push you till you lean like the visa. Ease up, 30 below freeze up. Caesar got stabbed cause he's a biatch. Gia, piano pizza. Select to touch the ivory. I see it in black and white, it's the easy ideology. We sign, sweat and tears, save the blood for Valentine. Tell me how you're feeling at the end of the rhyme.
Feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag of useless. Not for long, the future is coming on. And I've been feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag of useless. Not for long, the future is coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on.
Those pills, all those opposing leaders, they could get the deal. I catch them in a pickle, try to steal home plate. When I got the home field advantage, don't think they can manage. Stop this shine, cross this line, you will find it didn't have to go there, leading up to nowhere. Faster than the bullet train that got me in Lois Lane. I'm feeling like I'm Superman. Hear it in the Yucatan, I yell it from the studio, loud and clear, piling near explosion. Damage corrosion is what remains in your theory. I'm in this is silly to the end of the love letter. Real go-getter, can't have no place in my vocabulary. Why do you even doubt it? It wasn't necessary.
I ain't happy, feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag.
So yeah, Joel Jackson from, I met him at one of the live podcaster nights that Scarborough Dude sets up, and we quickly realized that we had common interests, and now we do a podcast together with some other dudes called The Vinyl Countdown, and he is a good dude. He just had a baby. The baby's like 1 month old, and it's ludicrously adorable and tiny. I got to hold it a bit, and I'm just scrolling through squidpod.com right now. Squidpod episode 28 is an interview with me and Joel talking. It's pretty funny. I recommend it. And then episode 27 is is the mixtape that he gave me. You can get it in a digital version. But yeah, he and his wife Jennifer totally saved my ass on Christmas. I had nothing to do on Christmas. Me and Brad went over to their place, hung out, had an awesome time, or going to his place for, or at least I am. I don't know if Brad's going. Bunch of the Vinyl Countdown guys are going for New Year's. Might record some New Year's podcasts. Sweep in 2011. So one song in particular on this mix album that he made and gave us that stuck out to me was Are We Talking Enough by Ez Dragon, or A.S. Dragon. That's a pretty weird name for a band. Well, since I'm home, let's see if I can look these fuckers up. See if we got some Wikipedia in here. Oh, French. I'm digging French music. Like how, did I play any of that yet? Probably not. Shit, okay, I'll add that to the list too. Got some other French shit to play. French rock group consisting of a bunch of French people. Ooh, singer quit in 2007. Va chercher la police. This is from their 2003 album. Oh, they have another one coming out 2012, so they're not stopping, man. They're not giving up. So yeah, totally cool song. Are We Talking Enough by A.S. Dragon. Let's listen to that shit. Yeah, well, this will lengthen things up a bit, but fuck it, man. I haven't done a show in a while. Let's do it upright. I was mentioning on Twitter, well, my friend Devin sent me a bunch of music, and this was ages ago. One of them was this Beck song called Paper Tiger that I'm sure I've played before, but I dug it up again, and I was like, fuck, yeah, I love that song. Man, that is such a good song. So I mentioned on Twitter, like, how much I love Paper Tiger. Oh, I got the live version. Sweet. because I'm sure I've played Paper Tiger before on this show, so maybe I'll play the live one instead now. So then my other friend Sarah on Twitter was like, dude, that song is such a ripoff of Serge Gainsbourg, who is a name I'd heard, but I didn't know any of his stuff, really. She's like, you got to get this album called L'Histoire de Melody Nelson. So I did, and it's fucking awesome. Like, generally, I don't know what it is, but I just can't get into music from before I was born. I don't know why. I love, like, the first Devo album, which was 77 or 78. I was born in 79. And then from there on in, there's all kinds of shit that I like. But things before that, I mean, you know, there's like some catchy Beatles songs or Rolling Stone shit or some Jimi Hendrix's first album is really fucking cool. That actually was really cool. Like, that album could have come out in the 90s. It would have totally fit. But in general, old music doesn't fucking yank my chain, but this album is so good. This is one of those things that, like, oh man, like, I always think musically I'm glad I wasn't born too far back, because it's like, what the fuck would I even listen to? Like, it's just a bunch of shit that I don't like. I mean, I guess I would learn to like it, but I could just so see putting this fucking album on a turntable and listening to the fuck out of this, although it's French, right? I mean, I probably wouldn't even have known what it was back then. But yeah, this guy, I guess he's all French and he's pretty famous, and this was kind of his. He did all kinds of different stuff, all kinds of different types of music, but from what I understand, this was his kind of piece that he's most remembered for. Became kind of a fucked up drunk by the end of his life. Was like a big personality on French TV and was getting to be more and more sort of embarrassing. You know, what am I? I'm a fucking Wikipedia expert. You can read the Wikipedia yourself if you fucking want. So, yeah, I'm going to play... Let's play the Beck song, and then I'll play the first track from L'Histoire de Melody Nelson, and track 4, Ah Melody, because it's my favorite. I love that song. Ah Melody, non mais non non c'est fait, non non oui. You'd think since I know French I'd be able to remember the words, but I don't. Je change de vie. Bon, j'en ai dénommé.
Just like a paper tiger torn apart by idle hands, through holes in the weather, fix yourself while you still can. No more ashes, the ashes. No more cinders from the sky. Rid all the laws of creation. Tell the dead man how to die. Oh, deserts down below. Storms up above. Look at a stray dog on the fender. Look at a paper tiger. Looking through a broken diamond. Make the past what it should be. Skelter, skelter morning. Capsized boats on the sea. Oh, deserts down below us. And storms up above. Like a stray dog on the fender. Like a paper tiger in the sun. We're just holding on to
see how long nothing lasts. Oh, deserts down below, it storms up above, like a stray dog gone defective, like a paper tiger in the sun.
Ailes de la Rolls effleurées des pylônes. Quand, m'étant malgré moi égaré, nous arrivâmes, Rolls et moi, dans une zone dangereuse, un endroit isolé. Cette Silver Ghost de 1910 s'avance en éclaireur, la Vénus d'argent du radiateur, dont les voiles légers volent aux avant-postes. Poste de radio couvrant le silence du moteur, elle fixe l'horizon et l'esprit ailleurs semble tout ignorer des trottoirs que j'accoste. We'll be right back. cœur indifférent. Elle tient le mort de mes 26 chevaux vapeur. Princesse des ténèbres, archange maudit, Amazon modern style que le sculpteur en anglais surnomma Spirit of Ecstasy. Le contrôle de la Rolls. J'avançais lentement. Ma voiture dériva. Et un heurt violent me tira soudain de ma rêverie. Merde. J'aperçus une roue de vélo à l'avant qui continuait de tourner en roue libre. Nelson a les cheveux rouges et c'est leur couleur naturelle. Faire des conneries et à dada sur mon dos. Oh, tu ne sais pas ce que c'est. Tu me l'as dit, mais tout ce que tu dis est-il vrai?
Kind of thinking of playing Instruments of Destruction by some band called NRG from the Transformers soundtrack, but I don't know if I'm really feeling it. It's only 3 minutes, fuck it, I'll just play it. But I mean, it's at first, you know, when you're listening to it, you're like, yeah, Transformers, like, just because it was in the Transformers animated movie from the 80s, that's enough to just trigger some fucking shit in your brain that's like, fuck yeah, this song rocks. This rocks like fuck, dude. This is so rockin'. And then kind of halfway through, you're like, all right, boys. I think I get it. You know, it's 80s. This is a very Megadeth-y sounding band. But yeah, fuck it, dude. Let's listen to that, and fuck you too.
Yeah.
right, I think I got two more songs. Just heard this one today, this morning. And in fact, I put it in a vinyl countdown because I just throw random songs at the end. I really like this band called Early Mart, and I found out about them because they knew Elliott Smith in some way, opened for him or something way back. And then there's this other band called Granddaddy that is friends with Early Mart and was also part of this whole similar scene. And I don't really know Granddaddy yet, I've been meaning to delve into that. But those two bands, Granddaddy and Early Mart, combined to form a new band called Admiral Radley. And the first song and first single from this album is called I Heart California, and it's real good. It's just, man, during the chorus, it's got this little keyboard thing happens over on the right side that's just designed like a fucking fishhook to just get in your brain and just remember this. And it's one of those, like, sometimes when a chorus isn't strong enough, you know, it gets to be kind of a drag, how the standard pop format is just a hammer on the chorus so fucking hard. But this song does, I mean, granted, I've only been listening to it since this morning, but does such a good job of, it's just verse, chorus, break, chorus, chorus. But when those last choruses hit, you're just so glad they came back. You're like, yeah, oh yeah, so good. What a fucking good song. So this is I Heart California by Admiral Radley, at Rad.
I am California.
Yeah.
Iced tea in my hair. Drugs fall out of diaper bags as Midwesterners stare. Symphony.
All right, last thing. This is the other Gorillaz. Not even just Gorillaz, but it's actually another sort of Clint Eastwood thing where it's this mashup album I downloaded of Nine Inch Nails stuff mashed up with, what was that album called? I think it was the With Teeth album, specifically mashed up with a bunch of different songs. And this one is called Right Where Clint Belongs. I don't remember what the name of this remixer is. Totem, T-O-T-O-M. The album's called With Boots. You can get it as a free download online. So this is Right Where It Belongs, mixed with Clint Eastwood, and it's really fucking cool. I love the way that rap I was talking about, the fucking... Anyway, it's really cool to hear it over top of this nice Nine Inch Nails piano music. This is a cool little mashup, man. I think it works well. So, thank you for listening. Don't forget to go track down the Vinyl Countdown, vinylcountdown.ca, or search us on iTunes. Find me talking to my friends while drunk. I think it's pretty fucking funny. We also started, the early shows we did were very long. They were like 90 minutes. I've started cutting them way down. So now we do shows more often, but they're much shorter. It'll be like 35, 45 minutes. I think it's a better method. Just get in, tell some jokes, get out, then put out another show 2 days later type of shit. XO, you know, I'm working on some shit. It's going slow. And there's a big Keith and the Girl marathon going to happen, because Keith and Hemda are moving out of their old studio that was Hemda's old house. They're both moving to new places, and it's the end of a fucking era, man. I've been still thinking about doing a show about that. Probably I'll wait until the future, but I had to go. It's like, this is my last chance to say goodbye to their old place, which was a big part of the latter half of my 20s. A lot of it revolved around Keith and the Girl, and that was ground central, so... So if you happen to catch that, January 4th and 5th, and then it will be online for free forever, and I'll be on it. So that'll be cool. All right. Right Where Clint Belongs. So long. KeithGarage.com.
It's right where it belongs. What if everything around you isn't quite as it seems? What if all the world you think you know is an elaborate dream? You look at your reflection. Is that all you want it to be? What if you could look right through the crack? Would you find yourself afraid to see?
Without it, you make it. Allow me to make this child like in nature. Rhythm, you have it or you don't. That's a fallacy. I'm in them.
Every sprouting tree, every child of peace, every cloud and sea. You see with your eyes and see destruction and demise, corruption in the skies from this enterprise. Now I'm sucked into your lives. Russell, not his muscles, but percussion he provides. With me as a guide. Y'all can see me now cause you don't see with your eye. You perceive with your mind, that's the end. So I'ma stick around with Russ and be a mentor. Bust a few rhymes so mother comes to remember. But the thought is, I brought all this so you can survive when law is lawless. Feeling sensations that you thought was dead. No squealing, remember.
Find yourself afraid to see